Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. Title of the message, He Offered His Back. Isaiah 50, 4 through 9. The Sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the Sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up. Heavenly Father, we surrender our lives to the one who offered his back today. Help us to be like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number one, the suffering servant is a compelling and strong character. The suffering servant is a compelling and strong character. Isaiah is writing about the suffering servant, this character in Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50 is a poem, a prophetic poem. It is written in the final years of the Babylonian exile, where the children of Israel had been taken. They had lost everything, been taken to a foreign land. But that time is coming to a conclusion. Isaiah, through the suffering servant, is speaking a message of comfort and a message of direction to those weary exiles. And you have to be weary living in a land that is not your own, living in a place that you do not know, being taken from everything that you did know. The suffering servant is the hero in Isaiah. He is the hero that Isaiah writes about. He is the prophetic picture that Isaiah is painting. The suffering servant is a person of dignity, but his dignity is at odds with his circumstances. His circumstances have him beaten up. But Isaiah's picture of the suffering servant is a powerful, sacred symbol of courage and hope in the midst of profound suffering. And Isaiah is calling the children of Israel to imitate the suffering servant, to be like him, to understand that their suffering, that God is still in control. He wants them to be rooted in the call to be faithful servants of God in the midst of suffering. Now, the suffering servant is never given a name in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah was deliberately nonspecific about giving the suffering servant a name, to allow the children of Israel, the original audience, to imagine themselves as this suffering servant. So when you go through suffering, through times of suffering, I believe it's quite scriptural, and Isaiah wants you to do so, to imagine yourself acting like this suffering servant. Now, as Christians, we believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of the suffering servant. He is what the suffering servant truly is. But the original audience, must have the spirit, the attitude of this suffering servant. They are God's own people, God's own servants, the people that are divinely called and empowered to face any suffering. And you have been divinely called and empowered to face the suffering that will come into your life. And ultimately, the suffering servant is the one who will be vindicated. God's calling to be his servant, you are my servant, is issued to the people in exile. A people who are struggling to maintain their identity as God's people because they're in the midst of the Babylonian Empire and in the midst of this great suffering. The calling is for us today to be God's servants in the midst of the empire that we're in the midst of the suffering that we face. Number two, suffering servants have well-instructed tongues. Suffering servants have well-instructed tongues. God has given me the tongue of the learned, the suffering servant says. The tongue of a teacher. As we submit ourselves to God in the midst of suffering and call upon him, as we become this suffering servant, we will have a tongue. He will give us a tongue, a word that can sustain the weary. God will instruct us so we can instruct the weary, so we can teach the weary. You need a teacher. You need a teacher to take you to the next level. You need the right teacher to take you to the next level. You can go so far learning how to play the guitar on your own or the drums on your own or whatever it may be on your own, but you get so far and then you need some sort of teacher, the right teacher. The right teacher is the one that has had a right teacher. The suffering servant had a right teacher. He awakens. God awakens my ear to listen. So the suffering servant was taught by God. He awakens my ear to listen. Now, the suffering servant says, I'm going to be a teacher to others. I have been taught by God, and now I am going to teach others. I am going to teach the weary. I'm going to give them a word that sustains them. You should be taught by God. You should be taught by the people of God. You should be taught by the church. And then you should go out and teach others. No, not stand in front of people with the microphone. I'm not talking about that. But as you are taught by God and the people of God and the church, you are given a great responsibility to go out and teach others, to give them a word that will sustain them in the weary times. It's three generations of learning. You have been taught, now you are taught, now you teach others. Many have never been taught. They have not connected with God. They have not been around God. They have not been around the things of God. They have not been around the church. I'm all right. I don't need the church and the things of God that way. Well, if you do that, you're leaving off the teacher. And you're not being taught. And when we leave off the teacher and we're not taught, we have nothing to pass on, nothing to teach. We don't have that learned tongue. We think we do. We may think we have something to pass on, but unless you've been taught by God, the things of God and his church, you have nothing to pass on. Now, many will pass on, never pass on what they have been taught. They've been in church and they've received the things of God, but now they haven't gone out and given that word to someone else. They haven't helped those who are weary. And when that is the case, the teaching that we have received dies. So we must be taught, and now that we are taught, we must teach. We must pass on a word to sustain the weary. I realize that God teaches me. He is the one that awakens my ears. Anything that I have ever learned was because He opened my ears. He allowed me to hear the wisdom from others. So, Lord, we pray today, give us ears to hear. And as we hear that word from God, the word from the church, the word from His scriptures, Lord, we will not be rebellious. The suffering servant says, I've learned your word, and now I will not be rebellious to your word. When He opens your ears, when He teaches you, you have two choices. Now that you know, now that you've learned, now that He's opened your ears, you have two choices. You can rebel against what you've heard. I don't want this message from God. I don't want this teaching from God. I don't want to pass this on, so I'm going to rebel against it. Or the second choice, you can be well instructed and ready to pass the teaching on to others. We need the best teacher. In Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Kylo Ren, Darth Vader's grandson, evil, vile being. He's having a lightsaber battle with Rey, and he sees that she's powerful. He sees that she's powerful with the Force. And as he has the sword near her throat, he says, "You need a teacher. I could teach you the ways of the Force." He wanted to abuse her and use her and use her powers. Be careful who you allow to teach you. Not everybody wants the best. They just want to use and abuse and use you for their good. Kylo Ren was the wrong teacher. We need the best teacher. Well, who is the best teacher? Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, "Come to me." That's a call. That's a rabbi's call to students. That's a teacher's call. Come to me. All you who are weary. What Isaiah say about the suffering servant? He will give a word to sustain the weary. Come unto me, the teacher says, all you who are weary and burdened, and what will happen? And I will give you rest. Jesus, we come to you, the best teacher, the perfect teacher for our instruction. Number three, suffering servants offer their back. Offer their backs, it should be. Offer their backs to those who beat them. Offer their backs to those who beat them. The broken world, as opposed to God's good creation, God's good world, the broken world says, keep your ears plugged to the things of God. Says, keep your ears plugged to wisdom, to purity, to gentleness, to forgiveness. And for those who have opened their ears to be taught by God, we want you to keep your so-called well-instructed tongue to yourself, teacher. Don't even instruct the weary in the things of God and the ways of God, because we, the broken world, have our own way. And if you do, you open your mouth to give a word of instruction to sustain the weary, well, we have a whip for you. And you will be so beaten and so injured that you will not be able to use your well-instructed tongue. Now, what do you do when that happens? When others come to us with a whip, literally maybe, but most likely not, figuratively in most cases, human nature gives one of three responses. When somebody brings a whip at you, going to beat you, going to stop you from being who you're supposed to be, the human nature says, fight. We get our own whip. You bringing a whip at me, I got to whip myself, and we fight. Or if you want to escalate the violence, escalate the conflict, we offer them a sword for their whip. You come at me with a whip, well, I got a sword. And I'll just escalate this violence. The second thing the broken human nature offers is flight. You could either fight or flight. You've heard that, fight or flight in the human nature. They come at you with a whip, and what do? You run away. You got to escape that whipping. Your parents ever spank you when you were a child with a paddle or something, and they grab you by one arm, and they start swinging, and you start running, and all of a sudden you're going around in a circle? Yeah. I'm not talking about beating your kids, but I'm talking about a spanking. And you're running around in a circle. You're trying to get away from them. You're trying to get away from that whipping, but you just keep going around in circles. It seems like that's what happens to us when we try to get away from the whippings in this world. They grab us by the arm, and we end up going around in circles. Or the third thing you can do, if you can't beat them, join them. You can rebel against God and the things of God and join the broken world because sometimes it seems easier and many times it seems like the right thing to do. And everybody's doing it. So which of the three will we choose when they come to beat you? Will you fight? Will you flight? Or if you can't beat them, join them. Which will you do? Well, I hope neither of the three. Because Isaiah tells us that there is a fourth way. Isaiah says the suffering servant shows us a fourth way. This is a God way. When they come at you with a whip, you offer them your back. When threatened with a beating, you offer them your back. They come at you with a whip, you say, whoa, hang on a second. You lower your jacket. Show them the bare skin on the back. You say, go ahead. Well, that's crazy. That's illogical. Offering your back for a whip. No way I'm doing that. I'm going to fight. Or I'm going to flight. Or I'm going to join them and then they won't have a reason to beat me. But offering your back is God's way of defeating the beating. The suffering servant does not hide their face from mocking, does not hide their face from spitting. I would. Somebody spit at me, you duck and cover your face, and you get mad, and they're mocking you and spitting at you. You hide your face, you run away in shame, or you hide your face with rage. You ever been spit on? I'm assuming somebody here has. I have once. When I was a young child, I don't remember how old I was, but an older kid, we were all outside playing football in the neighborhood. He was older than me, he was bigger than me, and I don't remember exactly what happened, but he got mad and he spit on me. And I froze. You don't expect to be spit on. Especially as a young child, I didn't know. I was angry, I was embarrassed, I felt weak, and I froze. My mother, just right at that time, we were playing football in my yard. The neighborhood kids were over in my yard. She came outside, and it was time to go. She told me to come on, and I got in the car, but I never told her. I remember wiping that spittle off, and I was embarrassed. It's the first time I've ever told that story, mentioned that story in 35 years. I don't even think I told my wife that story. I need some... Get on the couch here and y'all help me out, okay? I had a flight mentality. But I didn't like that feeling. So I decided that's not going to happen again. So I was at the college, the University of South Carolina, and I got into another disagreement with a guy. He didn't like me. I didn't like him. And he didn't literally spit on me, but he lived next door to two of my best friends, and he got mad at me, and he told them, said, if he ever comes over here, I'm going to beat him and da-da-da-da-da and tear into him. And so he told them to tell me that I wasn't allowed back over in that dorm. So they called me on the phone. Said, hey, this is what he said. If you come back over, he's going to do this and do that. And I was roommates with a guy named Nick. As I hung up the phone, I told Nick, I said, he said he's gonna do this and do this if I come back over there. Nick said, what you gonna do? I said, let's go. So I walked right over there, knocked on the door and said, here I am. I wasn't running no more. I was ready to fight. I didn't know if I was going to whoop him, but I knew he was going to have to whoop me. So he said, let's go outside. I said, like, what is this, the Old West? So we went outside in front of the dorm room. Across the road was the police station. We were smart. He swung at me, hit me, and I went hot, got mad, and started swinging at him and telling him what I thought of him. Before I know it, all his friends and my friends were there pulling us off each other, pulling us back inside. Fight or flight. I'm not sure how I'd react today with a threat or somebody spitting in my face. I may become angry, that's for sure. May become embarrassed, that's for sure. But I hope I have a little bit of the suffering servant in me. Because God reveals his character through Isaiah's suffering servant. Offering our back to the whip is the only way that changes the broken world. The back is mightier than the whip. You are to write that down. You are to tweet that. You are to put that on Facebook. And Facebook will sell it to everybody else. The back is mightier than the whip. Offering our back is the only way to purify our whip-carrying world. The only way to purify our whip-carrying community, our whip-carrying families, our whip-carrying schools, our whip-carrying churches. Our whip-carrying selves. Maybe you've gone out recently for gone whip shopping for that person. And that person, next time they say that, you're gonna go, you know, they're gonna watch me whip. But it will not work. It just leaves everyone in stripes. Number four, suffering servants know they cannot be disgraced because the Lord is near. Suffering servants know they cannot be disgraced because the Lord is near. They beat me, they spit upon me, they mock me, they pulled the hair from my beard, but I cannot be disgraced because the Lord is near. I know ultimately I cannot be disgraced. My Father is near. Mama didn't know I was spit on, but my Father in heaven did. And he has, and he is helping me and forming me the right spirit within me. And he's teaching me to set my face like flint, like our friend Atticus Finch, when that racist Bob Yule spit in his face. Did you see Atticus wanted to fight? He stepped to him a little bit. That'd come out. And all of a sudden, Gregory Peck, he got that flint face going on. Just pulls out that, wipes it off, gets in the car. He had character. And God builds that character in us because he is near us. The Lord, he is the one who will vindicate us because he is near. I can face my accusers. The Satan is called the accuser. So I can face even the extreme of accusations. The prince of accusations himself, I can face them. I can face any wrong charges because the spirit of the suffering servant God puts in us. He helps me so the accuser cannot condemn me. And in the end, all these accusers, all these people with their whips and their mocking and their spitting, they will wear out like a moth-eaten garment. I know the accusers, they look new and they look sharp and they sound sharp and they have all the right words and they can put you down. But they will not age well. The gospel says we offer our backs to those with whips. The gospel says we cannot be disgraced because our God is near. And the gospel says in the end, we will be vindicated for being that suffering servant. Number five. Jesus. The suffering servant. The suffering servant. Offered us his back for our whips. Jesus, the suffering servant, offered us his back for our whips. He could have went into fight mode. His disciples, his followers, were ready to go into fight mode. In fact, they were ready to escalate the conflict. They pulled out the swords and they started swinging. He said he could have called down 10,000 angels. That would have escalated it, sure enough. You come at me with swords, I come at you with 10,000 angels with more swords. But Jesus said, no, I offer them my back for their whips. And no one took his life. He offered it. He offered his back. He said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down. I offer it. And when you imitate Christ as the suffering servant, no one is taking anything from you. They think they are, but they're not. You're offering. You're offering, and your Father who is near sees this and vindicates that. I've read story after story after Jews about Jews in concentration camps in Nazi Germany. It says the only thing they had control over in those concentration camps was their attitude, how they were going to react. Everything else had been taken from them, but not their dignity and what and how they would respond to their abusers, to their persecutors. They'll come at you with whips, and they may have more whips than you can fight back against and run from. But they can't take from you your choice of how you're going to respond. They can't take from you the choice of what you are going to offer. You're worried about being disgraced. The truth is, offering your back like Jesus is the only way not to be disgraced. I know you want to fight, and I know you want to buy some whips and get the whips, but the people who buy the whips are the ones who ultimately end up the ones who are disgraced. Pontius Pilate, was he disgraced? How many three-year-old Pontius Pilates do you see walking around nowadays? Nobody names their kid Pilate anymore. Why? Because it's a disgrace. Judas Iscariot, he took 30 pieces of silver and bought whips. Does anybody name their kid Judas anymore? Judas is a disgrace. It's an insult. Nero, Hitler, all these people had the most whips, but they are a disgrace. But the people who offered their back were vindicated. Jesus, is he a disgrace? How about Peter? Is he a disgrace? How about Paul? Is he a disgrace? How about Stephen? Is he a disgrace? How about Mary? Is she a disgrace? How about Mary Magdalene? Is she a disgrace? By offering his back, Jesus has solved the problem of retaliation and escalation. By offering his back, Jesus solved the problem of the victim being shamed and disgraced. He showed us it is the victim who is ultimately vindicated. By offering his back, Jesus also solved the problem of things never ending right. They whipped his back. They put him in the grave, but in the end, the suffering servant rose, alive forevermore, and Lord of all. They yelled their curses at him. He offered his back. They slandered his good name. He offered his back. He refused to retaliate. He offered his back. He refused to run away. He offered his back. He refused to join their sinister ways. He offered his back. They took the back he offered. They applied the whips they offered. This would surely do away with him. But the back that he offered, he was offering for them. He took all of our death upon his back. And in its place, he offered us life back. He offered his back. I encourage us to live for Jesus this week. You have your living for Jesus? When a person, what person or group do you feel is threatening you or your group with a whip? Now, whether they are or not, that's a different story for a different day. You may be wrong about their intentions, but you feel that they're offering you or your group a whip. So think about it. What group? What individual? Number two, once you think of that individual, that group, what will you do? Will you fight? Will you flight? Will you join? Or will you offer them your back? And number three, meditate on Isaiah 50 verse 6 daily this week. That verse will mess with you. That verse, living in the most powerful nation in the world, that verse will mess with you. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, we humble ourselves before you today. Would you just surrender yourself to him today? Say, I am your servant. Lord, I am your servant. Lord, would you give your servant a well-instructed tongue? Would you just ask him to make you a teacher? To give you the words that will sustain those who are hurting. Lord, we ask that you would give us the words that sustain the hurting. Lord, would you awaken us morning by morning and teach us? Give us ears to listen. Give us ears that are instructed. Lord, we will not be rebellious. Just repent of your rebellion. Lord, I repent of my rebellion against your ways. And I humble myself now and say, I will not rebel against who you are. I will not turn away. And Lord, a hard prayer to pray. When they come at me with their whips and their mocking and their spitting and their anger, I will offer them my back because I'm imitating Jesus. Because Jesus, you offered me your back. And all my sin and unforgiveness and anger and pain and lying and pride and lust and greed, Lord, I took the whip to your back and you took it and offered me life and hope and restoration in return. So I imitate you now. And I offered my back. I believe the sovereign Lord. I believe you're near me. Would you just confess that in prayer today? Say, Lord, I believe you're near me. You're sovereign. You're over everything. You're over the things that happened to me when I was a kid, when that person spit on me, and you're forming me because you're near me. I cannot be disgraced. Just confess that today. Say, I will not be disgraced because you're near me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and teach me to set my face like flint, that I will not be go into fight and flight or join them mode, but I will be like you. Vindicate me. You're near. When the Satan, when the accusers, when those with whips come against me, who can condemn me? I will not fear, and I will not back down, and I will not fight. They have nothing on me because you're near me. You help me. We just ask him to help you. Lord Jesus, you're near, help me. God, you're near, help me. And in the end, everything's going to be all right. All these accusers and those with whips, they won't age well. I believe that. They're going to wear out like garments. Lord, let it be so, let it be so, let it be so. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us? As we begin to sing, if something from this message touched your heart and you would like for me to pray with you today, as we sing, if you would just come and we'll pray with you this morning. Would you come?
If you'd like to be prayed for. Hosanna. Hosanna.
Oh,
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Would you apply your word to our lives? Continue to open our ears to hear from you. And we thank you. We honor you. We bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, Lord, I ask that you would just bless your people, that you would make your face shine upon them, that you would be gracious to every person here, that you would give every person here peace. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.